Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
One is Mark and John's the other. They're just friends. They are not lovers. It's two old queens. It's two old queens. They're just sassy, not that mean. Two old queens. It's two old queens.
Now shut up.
Hello.
Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Mark, I am so excited about our guest this week. Who is it?
You're back to being excited after a few week absence. Well, she's a actor and writer. She's written for Thundercats Roar on the Cartoon Network and the upcoming Amazon Prime show Fairfax. It's Connie Shin.
Yay. Hi. Hello.
Hi, Connie. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm in my bedroom, sitting on my bed.
Isn't that a beautiful new world of podcasting?
It's all of us, right? Pretty much.
Yeah. But I am a fan of this podcast.
Oh, thank you. So you know what you're in for.
I listened to the Jeff Hiller episode.
You had seen Showgirls before.
Oh, several times. It's one of those things that felt like it was made for me.
Yeah. Do you have an early memory of like a camp movie?
I just remember me and my sisters, we would watch the movie Three Ninjas over and over again because we liked making fun of it.
Sure. I've never seen Three Ninjas.
Okay.
It's great. It's, you know, something's going to be bad when the advertisement references other movies.
Sure.
Yeah. It's like Home Alone meets Ninja Turtles meets, and yeah, like even as kids, we're like, bad acting, what's this guy's deal? Oh my, and he loved it and didn't know why. And then I got older and I was like, oh, mommy dearest,
you like trash. That's like the Rosetta Stone, I guess.
Yeah, it's just something special there.
So you're saying Three Ninjas is like an undiscovered camp classic?
Oh, absolutely.
Wasn't there a sequel at like a amusement park?
Three more ninjas?
There's three of them.
Oh, there's a trilogy.
Wow. So there's nine ninjas.
The trequel is the one that takes place at amusement park.
I see.
And has the Hulk. The sequel takes place in Japan.
When you say the Hulk, you mean Hulk Hogan?
Yeah. Not Mark
you're
Ruffalo.
Giving him a big upgrade by that.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan and I believe Lonnie Anderson.
Oh, that's a stacked cast of
peroxide
blondes.
In many ways.
I know you like horror movie. Do you like the werewolf genre?
I love horror, but werewolf usually doesn't stand out to me because there's usually, it's all about the transformation.
Yes.
There's not that much personality play that goes into it.
Mm-hmm.
But I make exceptions.
You have to make exceptions. Mm-hmm. I guess the only like big werewolf, like the biggest one, is probably American Werewolf in London, right? You know, I feel like that's the big one, or The Howling.
Sure. I think I saw that one. I'm not sure.
Don't Bother. It's directed by John Landis. He's one of Hollywood's greatest monsters who should be in prison.
I think I did see it, actually.
He truly is, monster, actually. Look up the Twilight Zone accident. He
I'm
is
aware.
A criminal. We're talking about Ginger Snaps today. John, what's the deal with Ginger Snaps?
Okay. Well, Ginger Snaps came out in 2000. It is a Canadian horror film directed by John Fawcett, starring Emily Perkins and Catherine Isabel. The film focuses on two death-obsessed sisters who must deal with the tragic consequences when one of them is bitten by a deadly werewolf. It's the first installment of the Ginger Snaps series, followed by Ginger Snaps 2 Unleashed and Ginger Snaps Back, The Beginning. Its reputation includes a large cult following and significant critical acclaim. That is Ginger Snaps.
So, Connie, we asked you to pick a movie. You immediately replied with Ginger Snaps. Why Ginger Snaps?
I first heard about this movie super recently. Mm. I heard about it this year because Alamo Drafthouse was going to do a screening of it, but I couldn't go to that screening. And then during the COVID lockdown happened, and I got Shudder, and I saw that Ginger Snaps was playing on Shudder, and I was just like, holy shit, I have to watch this. Not knowing anything, I watched it, blew my mind. Like, I've never seen anything like it. And I imagine if I saw it as a kid, my head would have exploded.
What is it about it that like resonates with you so much, do you think?
You know what? It's Mark, it's a million times crazier than you think it is.
I think it's pretty crazy. You don't know how crazy, I think it is.
Yeah. Well, it's just like, cause like when I became aware of this movie, I watched it daily for about a week.
Okay.
Okay. I can see that.
And after a while I was like, what am I getting from this? Why am I doing this? Yeah. Why is this so soothing? Oh. And it's something about the sisters. Okay. One, it's not that often you get a movie where the main characters are like death obsessed outcasts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's two of them, mm-hmm. and they're women, and they're just so like, fuck everyone, let's just live out the apocalypse in our room. And yeah, I'm just like, there's like this, there's like fat little goth kid in me that's like, yes, yes, yes. And it's so campy. Like, I mean, Emily Perkins, who most people probably know from the It miniseries, she's in it, and she's a fantastic actor. Like, she's just really good. And then you got the other sister, Catherine, I'm forgetting her last name, but her performance, you can tell she's having a lot of mm-hmm. fun with. Like, there's a line reading where she's like, well, you always wanted to be me.
Right, yeah.
Where's your martini glass? Mm-hmm. And, how many times did you guys watch this movie?
Well, let's get it. So you love it. John, what's your history with Ginger Snaps?
I had never heard of Ginger Snaps. I did not know what it was. When you said, Connie wants to watch Ginger Snaps, I went, what's that? And you were like, oh, it's a thing. So I was like, all right. So I watched it. I literally finished it 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. Like, I genuinely liked it. At first I was like confused, and then I stopped being confused, but I stopped caring that I was confused and just sort of went with it. And then I still am confused, but I don't care about the parts. Well, we'll talk about it. But I liked it a lot, and I could totally see like watching it again and again. I could totally see this being a movie if you catch it at a certain time, like in your life, especially if you're younger, like it becomes a movie that you're like, oh wait, I could see like absorbing this movie. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? The way like a lot of people did like The Breakfast Club or something like that. Like if you find it, if you like connect with that movie at a certain time. Mm-hmm. How about you, Mark? What's your history with Ginger Snaps?
Well, what a rich tapestry, my history with Ginger Snaps. Mm-hmm. I think I rented it on Netflix back when I got discs. Mm-hmm. So probably 15 years ago, maybe I saw it. And I remember liking it. And I had the sequels in my queue, but then they transitioned to streaming and I never got to them. okay. So this was my second time watching it, and I like it. I think it's fun. I feel like it is like a fresh reinvention of like werewolf as menstruation kind of parallels. And I think that really works. And the sisters, I like how they truly do have each other's backs, which feels unique. And I also love these like, it's almost like a pre-9/11 nihilism that was like acceptable, you know what I mean? Like, sure. I just want to die. It's like, well, you haven't really experienced anything. Like, what are you really complaining about? You live in the suburbs, you're doing fine. But that was pre-9/11 for you. You know what I mean?
Well, so it's like pre like school shooting, like before those became so in vogue, I guess.
In vogue, trendy.
You know, yeah. So that like it didn't seem so like, oh, this is a real thing. You know what I mean? It didn't feel as like real and dangerous, yeah. I think.
But it's fun. It also reminds me of like Greg Araki movies, like how the characters mm-hmm. are kind of like disaffected. But then like the horror elements are really strong. Like the effects are great. The horror is great. This movie maybe has more dead dogs than any movie I've ever seen. Which thankfully they always look fake. Thankfully.
So that it was those dogs that really confused me at first, because I wasn't sure if at first the first dog that we see dead, I thought the sisters had killed. But that wasn't the case.
That was a nut. There was a pre-existing werewolf who we don't know who that werewolf was, I don't think.
Gotcha.
Then he got
probably
hit by the
werewolf. That
he got hit by the van.
That got hit by Sam the drug dealer.
Yes.
But then what I got confused by again is when at the field hockey practice, when the mean girl, the Canadian mean girl, when she like knocks over, what's her name? Not Ginger, the other girl.
Bridget.
And like suddenly she's on top of a dead dog again. And I was like, what just happened? Like that confused me.
Sure.
Do you know the moment I'm talking about?
I do. I don't know why nobody noticed that dead
dog. I do. Because that was a little confusing to me too. But I think
I like rewound it because I literally like looked away for a second. And then I was like, was she holding that dead? Like it seemed like it fell out of her pocket or something.
But I think this town is just has more dead dogs than Starbucks.
Yeah.
Right. Well, because that was the other thing that I was confused at first, because when that woman with the first dead dog, she like came running out and like screaming. She had like a baby in her hands and like all these kids are playing like hockey in the street.
Yeah.
Which is how you know it's Canadian. And she like freaks out and they're all just like, whatever. So I'm like, is she crazy? Does this happen all the time?
That's disaffected youth for you.
Disaffected. Those Canadians, they just don't give a shit.
Well, Connie, as you may and probably do know, we are looking for the gayest movie ever. And we have a very complex and Byzantine scoring system that we use to judge the gayest movies ever. So we're going to go through a bunch of categories. And at the end of this, you are going to add a category and it could become canon.
Ooh, all right. Yay.
So we're going to go through our top five, our current standings. So this is the percentage out of total possible points. Number five with 72.74%. Labyrinth. Number four with 76.50%. Cats. Number three with 76.52%. Funny Girl. Number two with 78.59%. Bradley Cooper's A Star Is Born. And number one with 79.51%. Grease 2. So let's get into this first round of categories. These are our canon categories. We would say the essential categories. We're each going to give a score out of 100, and then the movie gets the average of all three of our scores. The first category is homoeroticism. So Connie, on a scale of 0 to 100, how homoerotic is Ginger Snaps?
There's some homoeroticism. The part where the sister pierces the other one's belly button. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because the music that they're playing when she's getting her belly button pierced is like sexy music.
Yeah.
And she's like holding onto the bed rail, just going,
So yeah. And they're sisters. So it's definitely homoerotic.
Yeah. There's more like the part where they, spoiler, they accidentally kill that mean Canadian girl, you know, that stereotypical mean Canadian girl.
Yeah.
And Ginger's like, do you think she's pretty? And Bridget's like, if I wasn't here, would you eat her?
You're saying that's a metaphor.
It's something a little homoerotic about it. And
there's also the scene where the one Bridget checks Ginger's tail. Like she takes her comforter off and like hits her butt. She's wearing underwear, but then she slowly pulls down her underwear to see that she has a tail.
How did she know to look there?
I don't know.
Like, why did she think to look there?
You know, it's a low budget movie.
I think, didn't she just saw a lump? Like, I think she saw that, like, somehow, like, a sheet was moved and she saw the lower back with a weird, like, extra lump in it.
I think you're giving this movie a lot more credit.
Possibly. It's entirely possible.
But other than I didn't think it was that homoerotic, essentially.
It wasn't. I was curious. So, Connie, have you seen like the prequel and the sequel to this movie as well?
I saw the sequel. I tried watching the prequel, but it got a little too crazy for me, so I stopped.
Because part of what I was confused about at the beginning of this movie was the relationship between the two sisters. Like, it seemed weird and potentially more than, like, and also they didn't look anything actually like sisters, so that was also confusing, where I thought, like, oh, was one of them adopted somehow?
So you thought there were incestuous overtones?
I was wondering if there's, like, a reading or, like, a fan take, or, like, people view them as this. If that sort of...
Well,
I googled just wondering if that's part
Ginger
of the
cult Snaps... I googled Ginger Snaps gay, and there wasn't a lot. It's more, people consider it more feminist than like lesbian.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So just because it's lesbian or feminist doesn't mean it's lesbian.
That is
true.
Well,
Lucy Lawless does have an uncredited cameo in this.
She's the voiceover, yeah.
Yeah.
What voiceover? There's voiceover?
Like the announcements.
Oh, I thought not there. So Connie, on a scale of 0 to 100, what would you give Ginger Snaps? For homoeroticism.
I would give it a bisexual 54.
54. Is that a bisexual number?
It's about halfway. A little more than halfway.
It's on the scale.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty low for me. I'm actually going to go 24.
24. Yeah, there's not... I'll go 25. Just slightly more than John.
Okay, showing me up. Okay.
Showing you up. All right, next category. Actual gay characters on a scale of 0 to 100. How many are there actual gay characters in this? I don't think so
either.
No.
So what do you want to give it, Connie?
Well, I'm just realizing now there aren't any.
Do you want to change your movie pick to Three Ninjas?
No. I would say 10% then.
10. Are there incestuous overtones or undertones to the Three Ninjas franchise?
We could always put them on. I'm sure we could map it on top of them.
I don't think there's incestuous undertones for Ginger Snaps. I think they're just codependent.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So, John, what are you going to give it for actual gay characters?
Yeah, because they're at a high school, maybe some of them haven't figured it out yet. I'll also go 10.
10. I'm going to go 3 just for that eyes. All right, next category, camp factor. On a scale of 0 to 100, how campy is Ginger Snaps?
It's pretty campy. It's got a lot of fun camp elements. Like even that nurse who like tells them about menstruation, that's pretty campy.
She's so happy.
Mimi Rogers, she's pretty campy throughout in a way that like I like. It feels like very like... and she's in control of it. It's not, you know, like a misplaced camp, as it
she's
were.
She's not unhinged.
Exactly. But I like it. Like, she definitely is, like, definitely a little higher pitched. I think it actually is a pretty campy movie.
I don't know if you guys noticed because you only saw it once, but...
Okay.
Three of the characters... This is due
I have
to the
a laptop
writing.
Open when I watch it, Connie, you know.
Okay, all right. But this is something you really got to watch it twice to notice. Three of the characters have monologues that are written in the same style that are like, they're really intense, long monologues, but they're written in the style of like, all that goes is I'm on the corner of Nowheresville and right now the gas is gunning towards fucked up alley. Like three of the characters talk like that in this movie. And each time I'm just like, wait, what? Because Sam, the drug dealer, talks like that once. That one random dude who ends up turning talks like that, and Bridget talks like that at one point. And it's so insane because normally no one talks like that. So they all have this weird Ethan Hawke moment where they're like, they literally say street directions and say, I'm on the corner of fucked up and losing my mind, and everything points to bullet in the head, and it's just insanely campy.
So what are you going to, if you had to give it a number on zero, between 0 and 100, what would you give it?
I'd say 99.
99? There's barely anything campier.
I think there is a lot of camp, but it doesn't go super, super crazy. I do want to appreciate that they did do all actual special effects, and that so there's no CGI or anything like that.
CGI are special effects, John.
Yeah, but there's none of that. Like,
you mean practical effects?
Practical effects. Okay, mm-hmm. Whatever. But it's not like super, like there's nothing real draggy about it. Like the women also like are never like, not that they should, but like it's not like they like are like almost naked as they're being chased or anything right. like that. So it doesn't have that sort of like ridiculousness to it. So I'm going to go 81.
81. You think it's pretty campy.
I do. I do think, like, especially Mimi Rogers as Pamela. I just gotta. She does a lot for me for this.
All right. I made a little list. This isn't as big as some of my previous mm-hmm. camp lists,
okay.
but there's some stuff. First things: a goth girl doing chores. The line "Suicide's like the ultimate fuck you." It's so us. The entirety of goth culture, a lawnmower accident, slideshows, nobody noticing a huge dead dog in the middle of a field, a mom being excited about her daughter's period, a canted camera angle, smoking dope in a van, a mom making strawberry shortcake to celebrate her daughter's period, being in love with a drug dealer, a greenhouse, the body horror genre, keeping severed fingers in a Tupperware, a minivan, an unfinished basement, and finally, a goth girl wanting to live. This isn't the campiest. I feel like the dialogue is like super campy. Like they uh-huh. have a lot of fun, but it's not the campiest thing I've ever seen. So I'm going to give it a 65.
All right.
What about the performances though?
I'm giving it a 65. That's more than I gave Funny Girl.
There's slow motion camera shots of Ginger throwing her body against the bathroom door, trying to break it down in her underwear.
Yeah. Mark. And that's reflected in your score.
Mark. What?
All right, our next category, over-the-top wardrobe. Pretty much just the sisters and the mom, Mimi Rogers, like, denim.
But yeah, but it's not crazy.
It's not crazy. It's almost, like, sketchy, though. You know what I mean? Like, sketch comedy mom.
Mm-hmm. It's like, you know right away, she's the mom.
Oh,
she's
yeah.
the mom.
Well, based on her curly side bangs, you could tell yeah. she's the mom.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think... Well, because the girls, the way they're dressed, it's all very bulky to like yeah. disguise their figures. But then when Ginger decides she's going all out and she has two white streaks down
yeah,
her hair,
right. mm-hmm.
because that's a thing that werewolves do, apparently.
They're like horns.
But what's really funny is like everyone's like jaw dropped. But she looks exactly the same. She's just not wearing a jacket.
Yeah, she's yeah. just like showing off her tits a little more.
Yeah. And she doesn't have a backpack, so I'm like, did you just not go ready to school?
And why are you still going?
Yeah, and then you see Bridget's reaction to her sister walking down the hall, and she's just like, what? And I'm like, you guys came together. I don't yeah. know why you're jaw-dropping now. But yeah, what's really funny is in order to get that look going, she bangs on the bathroom door the morning of. She's like, I have to get ready for school.
She's still a high school student. So what are you going to give this on 0 to 100 for over the top wardrobe?
I'd say 30.
30.
Yeah.
Tough but fair.
Yeah, I'm going to go 24.
24. I'm going to go 25.
Mm-hmm.
Not that over the top. No. All right, next category, drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen watch Ginger Snaps and come away inspired?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like in anything specific? Any specific
well,
reason why?
Well, what's funny about Ginger Snaps is Ginger is turning into a werewolf, but slowly.
Right.
Right.
Like you see her growing fur and then you see her nails become werewolf-like, but just her right. nails. Mm-hmm. Which I thought was so funny because she doesn't even try to hide them.
Right. They never just, even call them out. They're just there. They're
yeah, like they just look like treat. Little pistachios.
Mm-hmm.
And and then she just has like those two little TLC streaks and mm-hmm. Sort of bangs. And so she's like half werewolfed out throughout the movie. So I think a drag queen could have a lot of fun with that.
Also, like the goth looks and like all these mm-hmm. these 2000 early 2000 looks are pretty. I forgot what they like. That is such a dated look now.
Well, they're
overalls,
both wearing
big
like...
bulky jackets.
Sure.
Oh yeah, remember Tommy Hilfiger?
I do remember
do
Tommy
I ever?
Hilfiger.
Sure.
Died in a fire, didn't he?
Did he really die in a fire?
No.
Oh.
No. So, what would you give this for drag queen inspiration?
I would say 45.
45.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think along with the wardrobe being so low, I think the drag queen inspiration is pretty low too. I'll go 33.
I'm going to go 25. There's not much. Although I would love to see like a where, you know, drag queens love doing reveals. It's almost like hack now, but to do a where you turn into a werewolf on stage.
Yeah.
Come on. That'd be fun.
Get yourself.
All right, next category. On a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend this to gay people?
Oh, I've been recommending this to everyone I know.
That's true.
Very likely. Do I have to give a percentage?
Mm-hmm. You do.
Oh, okay. 100.
100. There's okay. Nothing you'll recommend more.
Yeah, it's not that. I would definitely be like, all right, do you like this sort of high school genre of pictures? Like, do you like that? Do you like horror? If you like those things, then you definitely should check this out. So
if you
I
like
say,
angry women, you'll like this.
Yes.
That's true.
If you like angry women not apologizing for their anger, you will love Ginger Snaps. I will give it I'll give it a 76.
76. Like trombones.
The very ones.
Yeah, I feel there's nothing like explicitly gay. I mean, it is like horror from like a woman's point of view, which is refreshing. But I don't think you need to. I'm going to give it 75. I do like it. Don't get me wrong. Okay, next category. The male gaze. How horny is the camera for the male form?
It's not a very horny camera overall.
Not for anybody. It also makes the guys seem like such schlubs that it is crazy when Ginger is like horny for them. You're like, that does seem crazy. Because like, why are you going nuts for these guys? They're all losers. Mm-hmm. So I like how that almost plays into her transformation of like losing her mind, becoming more animalistic.
Right.
So maybe that was a choice to not have anyone be sexy.
Maybe.
I like how the sex scene with her and that guy is like terrifying.
Yes.
Yeah. Like he's like legit screaming and she's just going, who's the guy? And he comes away bloody and scarred. And his friends are like, dude, what happened? And he's just like, Ginger Fitzgerald rocked my world.
And now my dick is bleeding.
Yeah.
It looks like he had a cigarette put out on him.
It looked like he had a couple on his face.
You don't really see
no
male nudity in this.
You get like a brief glimpse of his chest when she like rips open the shirt, but
that's about it.
If anything, you see the female form way more than her than the males.
And even that's like it doesn't feel salacious.
Yeah. I would say 20%.
20.
Yeah, I'm gonna go 17.
17. I'm going to go 2. Okay. I don't think it was very. It was just that one shot where she rips his shirt off and it's over before you. I don't even, you barely see a nipple. All right. Next category, entrances with pizzazz.
There's a couple. I thought Juliet, like she, like the garage door opened. That was her big entrance into the movie.
Bridget.
Is that her name? Brigitte? What's her name?
Yes.
And Bridget. Then also Sam, the drug dealer, he sort of like drove in his car. Sold a lot of drugs and drove out. Like that was a big sort of like moment to be like, who is this character?
And he pulls into his spot like fast.
Yeah, like it's his spot.
Yeah, like because like he kind of startles the girl that's near his spot. And and when Ginger is on her period and decides to do it up at school, that's an entrance. And this is really fucking funny. They play like this techno-y music for when she's walking down the hall in slow motion. And when she goes off with that guy later, she turns on the engine and that music starts playing again, but from within the car.
Wow. Okay.
So in this world, that song exists.
Yeah. And it just follows her specifically around, I guess.
And I guess like werewolves jumping out at you can be an entrance with pizzazz, like coming out of the dark from nowhere. Mm-hmm. Like the initial attack on Ginger is like very startling.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So Connie, what would you give this on 0 to 100 for entrances with pizzazz?
70.
70.
Yeah, I will do 73.
Ooh.
73. I'm going to give it 56. I didn't think it was that.
Alrighty.
It's just those ones we mentioned. All right, next category, dramatic lighting. How dramatic is the lighting in Ginger Snaps?
Well, they open the movie with a death montage a photography death montage.
Yes. Right. That looks very 2000, year 2000.
I mean, they have like, there's like the nighttime lighting. There's like the when they're fighting inside the house in the unfinished basement. They're that sort of like.
Yes. The I think like the lighting. With the flickering light.
Yes. The lighting in their bedroom that has the, they have those weird sort of like, like beaded curtains almost that have light coming up. They have that light board between them. There's some like weird lighting.
Their bedroom
choices.
Was crazy. Was it looked like the, it looked like a room from like Saw.
Yeah. You know, why is their parents would like, be like, you're not living like this. This is not happening. You each get in your own room. This is too weird.
Yeah. And no, I'm not installing fluorescent lights above your headboards.
No. It was very strange.
This isn't a Nine Inch Nails video.
Yeah. I don't know why they were living in an unfinished room. And I don't know why they were so angsty.
It seemed like it was like the attic or something.
It was like the basement. And they... Okay. I don't know why they were like that, because their parents seemed very nice.
Very square.
Yeah. If anything.
They obviously were very like accommodating.
Yeah, so I don't know why they were so angsty.
That's Canada for you.
There you go.
So what would you give this for dramatic lighting, Connie?
I would say about 55.
55.
Yeah, there's nothing too crazy about it, so I'll go 55.
55. You know what? I'll also go 55. All right, next category. Strident women. Are there strident women in Ginger Snaps? It's almost everybody.
It's pretty much everyone, except for the mom and that nurse.
Yeah. And even then, they stand the fuck out.
Right? Trina is the mean Canadian girl.
Yeah.
Oh, I like the line where...
Who just has curly hair.
There's a line where Bridget says to Ginger, Ginger, you had unprotected sex and you gave it to him. And then Ginger just goes, oops.
Yeah, that was great.
Oh my god, the part where Trini's trying to bully Bridget, she's like, you're a bigger cunt than your sister, and Bridget goes, I am not.
I feel like it's such like a generation, because this was now 20 years ago, and like, you know, Gen Z has a reputation for being like the kindest, most empathic generation, and it couldn't be such a marked difference from like Ginger Snaps.
Right.
The kids are all so vicious.
Yeah, these mean girls are pretty mean. But I love how the main mean girl's in love with the drug dealer. That's very funny to me.
And she brings her Rottweiler to school for some reason.
That was weird, yeah.
Why does she have a Rottweiler with her during school hours?
I don't know.
It was part of her project that day.
It was show and tell.
So what are you going to give this for strident women?
100.
Yeah, I'm going 96.
96. I'm going to go 97. They're pretty strident. Given an average of 97.67, 3 points higher than Funny Girl.
Wow.
Pretty good. Which, all right, next category. Macabre. How macabre is Ginger Snaps?
It's hella macabre.
It's mostly macabre.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of blood, people eating blood, pissing blood.
Like pretending to like slit their wrists. The two sisters talking about their suicide pact.
Making suicide photos, death photos. Like that's even before the supernatural stuff happens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would say also 100.
100.
Yeah, I think we can go 100 for macabre on this one.
Yeah, I'm going to go 100. Ugh, that scene when she's trying to cut off her tail. Ugh. Nasty.
They did you guys notice their pens, their bone novelty pens?
I did.
Love those.
I want those.
Probably go to Spencer's Gifts.
I miss Spencer's.
In their Ginger Snap section.
All right, next category. Wigs. On a 0 to 100. How would you rate the wigs? Are there wigs? I feel like Bridget.
I did notice right away that
I think
I noticed Bridget was wearing a wig. Right. Definitely.
As the transformation went on, she definitely had more wig going on.
You're talking about Ginger had a wig?
Ginger, yeah.
Well,
but like but the her other hair sister... was so like dry and crusty. Like even in that scene where she was supposed to be like the hot girl walking down the hallways, I was like, your hair is so thirsty.
We need some conditioner.
She needed something.
That's Canada for you.
I guess it's hard. The air is just so making... cold and dry.
Smear some poutine in that hair.
No.
Give it some life. But there's not a big wig movie, I would say.
No.
I am curious why Bridget was wearing a wig the whole time.
Right? It was so weird.
I think it might have been to make the sisters look more different, because in real life, I think Emily Perkins' natural hair looks closer to Ginger's.
Oh.
But that seems like a bad choice to be like, let's make these two actresses who are supposed to play sisters look less like sisters.
I think because Ginger is supposed to be the hot one, so she has to stand out more.
Gotcha. All right.
Because they really try to make Emily like a wallflower.
Right.
I still thought she was pretty, though.
She's absolutely pretty. Gorgeous girls. What would you give this? What would you give this for wigs?
I didn't like the wigs, so I would say 30.
30.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go low on wigs. There's not a lot. I'm going to say 15.
15. I'll give it a 12 on wigs. Given a score of 19. That's better than Windows and Top Gun. All right, next category. Quips. How quippy is Ginger Snaps?
Ooh, 95.
It's, wow, okay,
right
out
the
gate.
Of the thing. There's one that I wrote down, and it was the mean Canadian girl. She said, so, sluts run in the family. Kel, shocker. And I was like, that's the Canada. That's the French Canadian in there for you. Remind you where you're at.
I wrote that one down, too. There's a few.
There's a few fun ones in here.
She screws a drug dealer. She's begging for negative attention.
Oh, and they play a game. The sisters play a game with each other where they just roast other girls. And they...
Oh, right.
Yeah, at the very beginning, they're like, okay, cause of death. hydrogen peroxide, favorite excuse for losing her homework. Her nail glitter did it. And I'm just like, I love these women.
John, what are you going to give it for quips?
For quips? I will go, I'm going to go 86.
86. It's one of the quippier movies we've had, mm-hmm. I think. Because mm-hmm. it's been a desert of quips. I'm going to give it an 88.
Mm-hmm.
Give it an average of 89.67. That's quippier than Interview with the Vampire, okay. which only has a 15.67.
So there you go.
All right, next category, vibrato.
That is not a quippy movie.
No, it's not.
So vibrato, we use two.
So there's the literal vibrato yes. and like the singing vibrato, but also we mean vibrato as in like an extra, like a sort of zhuzh, a little like more that's added to a moment or to something that you don't need it, but you love it. You like that it's there. Like for me, I would say the evil high school teacher, the way he was just like, this is terrible.
Yes.
I'm scared and worried about, oh, like that's vibrato to me.
Absolutely.
I also thought when they were like sneaking a cigarette in gym class in the beginning, like that seemed very like
so much smoking.
There's a lot
movie.
Of smoking in this movie, but like moments like that to me feel very vibrato-y.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. Every adult in this movie is doing something very extra.
Yes.
That like you could tell they're like, have fun with this. Just have fun. Like the school nurse describing menstruation so vividly. Yes.
Yeah. The gore is pretty vibrato because there's like all the blood splatter is pretty extra.
There's a lot of blood.
So what would you give this on a scale of 0 to 100?
I'd say 89.
89.
Yeah, it's pretty vibrato-y. I'll go 88.
88. To me, I think it's mostly the dialogue. That dialogue is really fun. I'm going to give it 75.
Okay.
All right. This is the last of our first group of categories, footwork. How would you rate the footwork?
So I think we have to consider footwork just like doing the work of that weird wolf creature who's on
sure.
all fours. So that's like,
yes.
I think would go into footwork.
Absolutely.
What
using
do we
your
think
hands
of, like,
as feet?
The fight scenes. Like, do we think the fight sequences are like really well staged or?
Well, I think they are like low budget. So they shoot in like really tight close ups and. They smartly, you know, you have to make the choice not to show the werewolf too
of
much.
Of course. Right, right, right. How much can we get away with?
Yeah, I think they thread that needle nicely. Mm-hmm. They weren't the most exciting. I wouldn't call this like, although maybe I'm numb because I watched too many horror movies. Like, I never thought this was like scary.
Yeah.
No, but I will say at the end, I was like, I really don't know what's going to happen. Which
sure.
was fun.
Yeah.
This movie took a lot of turns. Do you remember the part at the end with the mom where she's just like, let's burn the house down and start over?
I just watched this last night.
Yeah.
What do you mean, do I remember?
I watched it an hour ago.
I would thought the mom was going to say, like, I'm a werewolf too or something. There was going to be some other element. Oh. I thought, like, why is she being, like, so cool with finding fingers? You know what I mean? I was like, it's very strange.
But it's just the fact that she was so ready to be like, it's cool.
I'm
ready.
We'll
burn the house
over.
Down and start over. And Bridget's like, what about dad?
Dad was a drip.
Yeah.
Do we ever see dad anywhere other than at the dinner table with a glass of wine?
I don't think so.
Nope. And I think he has like two lines.
Good. Connie, what are you going to give this for footwork?
Well, because of this movie, I now know what lycanthrope means. So I'm going to say 75.
75. So that plays into footwork? No word definitions?
Well, because I feel like they were trying so hard.
Now you don't have to walk to the dictionary to find
out. To recreate. Because they do change the rules of what makes werewolves. And so I feel like they tried really hard to put those rules into play.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because they try silver, they try daylight, they try everything. And so, you know, she looks into books and stuff. And
right.
Right, sure.
That's footwork. Footwork. Well, they say,
doing the
you know,
research.
The yellow pages, you say, let your fingers do the walking. So
exactly.
Maybe that's what
so
we're
there
saying.
There you go. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. That works.
John, what are you going to do?
I'm
going to
go
footwork?
35, mostly for the puppetry work with the beast.
The beast looks great. I'm also going to give it 35. Give it an average of 48.33. That's more than Windows.
Okay.
All right, Connie, we are now into the wheel category. These are also-rans, we'll say. No,
let's not say that. These are categories that other guests have brought in that have been added to the wheel.
But they aren't bonus or canon.
Okay.
Well, sure.
So John's going to spin it on your behalf.
Waiting in the Wings.
Waiting in the Wings. How much Waiting in the Wings is there?
What
well,
exactly?
Like teenagers. Kind of, you know, like you're waiting for something to start. You're waiting for... The classic is like Showgirls. You're the understudy. You're waiting for your moment in the spotlight.
There's a little bit of that in that the mom has... There's a scene where the mom talks with Bridget being like, you'll get your turn soon.
About her period.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Did you feel like you were waiting in the wings as you were a young teenage girl waiting for your period to appear?
John, that is so inappropriate.
No.
What? She brought it
up. I got mine when I was 11.
Oh,
okay. Congratulations.
I was a little tomboy though, and I was like, ugh, I don't want this. Like I was blooming kind of early and I didn't want to. So it was just, for me, it felt icky and gross. So when I read about other girls being like, oh God, I hope to get my period in titties soon. I was just like, ugh, you could take mine. God. It just felt icky and yeah.
Like you're turning into a werewolf.
Yeah.
So what would you give this for Waiting in the Wings? I mean, there are like Not Yet a Woman. Not, what's that Britney song? Still a
not
girl.
Yet a girl no, not
I'm
yet
not a
woman.
I'm not a girl, not yeah, yet it. A woman.
She sings around canyons and Monument Valley, I think, is where the music video takes place. So what would you give this, Ginger Snaps?
Say 30%.
30.
Because Ginger, like the thing is like they're both late bloomers, but neither of them wants it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because like Ginger's like 16 and she still hasn't gotten her period yet.
Well, no, she like, just got it. And the 15-year-old, right? Isn't that it?
Yeah. Well, but like 15's kind of late.
Right.
Most girls get it when they're 12 or 13.
All right.
So 15, 16 is kind of late. Like in the movie Carrie, she's 16 and they're like, whoa, that's late to first get your period.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
not
the
know
fact
what's
that,
happening.
Yeah. And so like the mom is just like, have you gotten your period yet? What's going on? So, yeah.
So that makes sense.
I've been waiting.
Yeah, I guess I'll go 33 for that, for menstruation.
33. I'll give it 35, mostly because, you know, young girls waiting to become women, whether they want to or not.
Mm-hmm.
And literally the werewolf at times is waiting in the wings to jump out and get you. All right. Wheel category number two. Spin that wheel, John.
Dramatic smoking.
Oh my God, boy,
there's
did
a
you
lot
look
of
out.
Dramatic smoking in this movie.
Mostly dramatic smoking.
Oh man. When she takes a deep drag right before she gets her belly button pierced.
Yeah. Those are all them smoking in the back of the van.
Smoking dope.
Mm-hmm.
The drug dealer has very like dramatic smoking, like he's edgy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everyone smokes like it's a bar in the 80s, and yeah. It's just so
they're
my
so salty.
Goodness. Yeah. Although you don't see any adults smoking, which I thought was interesting.
Just bad teens.
Mm. Yeah, just fucked up teens.
So what would you give this for dramatic smoking?
I'd say 50.
50?
I'm going to go higher. I think because of all that smoking, I'm going to go, I'll go 79.
I'm going to go 80. I think this is pretty much what we're talking about when we're talking about dramatic smoking. Mm-hmm. Giving an average of 69.67. Wheel Ooh. Category number 3, please.
All righty.
Spin that wheel.
Non-traditional murder weapon.
Okay. Boy, are you looking out here.
Yeah, I mean, they had a lot of fun non-traditional murder weapons in their like slideshow. They had like a white picket fence, a lawnmower.
Yeah.
The evil girl died by countertop. That's not traditional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Technically, although, was that a murder, though, or just an accident?
That was an accident. Sure, they covered accident. Up.
She's no longer living.
So?
I mean, it's murder adjacent. I understand that murder implies intent.
Yeah.
But still.
Also, a werewolf is pretty non-traditional.
Werewolf, non-traditional.
Being killed by a werewolf's jaws.
Mm-hmm. The virus that sort of killed the people from within.
Sure.
That made him
werewolf. A werewolf gets killed by a van.
That's true. Yeah. That's not too traditional. I mean, I guess for a wolf, it's probably.
I mean, for
not.
A wolf, it's probably the most traditional.
It's in the top 10, at least.
Yeah. So, what would you give? I think that's about it, though, right? Because once you get injected, they come up with that cure. That cure doesn't kill you, it cures you.
What about the belly button ring? That's sort of like an attempt, right?
It's an attempt.
To cure, not murder.
Gotcha. Okay.
And it doesn't really do anything.
Hmm.
So what would you give this, Connie?
I'd say 50.
50.
I'm going to go higher because they do some fun stuff even in their like staging of things. So I'm going to go 68.
68. I'm going to go 57 for all the things we've said before. And then now our final wheel category. And then after this, Connie, it will be time for you to add a category.
Ooh.
You knew this was coming.
Animal print.
Wow, Connie, you couldn't have asked for a better three run.
Four categories.
Well, besides the werewolves, there was also Bridget's like shower curtain was like a cheetah print.
Yeah, I noticed that. I was like, these girls are so badass.
They're so cool.
Right. There was also the paw prints of the dogs. Those are animals and they left prints.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I was disturbed by how nobody cared about the dead dogs. That was like disturbing to me.
Yeah, that's like the opposite of Spielberg's rule.
Right? She literally kicks a dog, our hero.
That was crazy.
She ain't saving the cat. She's kicking the dog.
That we should like ding her on footwork for that.
But it is footwork.
Mm-hmm.
So hey, animal print.
Book killed the dog.
Say that again.
Oh, I was making a dumb joke about that, a moving writing book called Kill the Dog.
There you go.
I'd say on animal print. Well, my thing in terms of animal is I love taxidermy, and they both sure. wear those bird skull necklaces.
Oh, yeah.
That aren't discreet at all. They're like big birds. So I'm going to give them a 70.
They probably got those at Anthropology.
Oh, my. Mark, you're so jaded.
They're Canadian. They don't have Anthropology.
They probably shot those birds themselves.
True.
When they were hunting moose. What did you give it?
A 70? 70.
I'll give 70. It a 70 as well. For 70. Those necklaces, I'm taking your word for it.
I think just the fact that there's actual werewolves and that shower curtain, I'll give it a 72.
Mm.
All right, Connie, the time has come for you to add a category which could become canon, but in the meantime, will just be added to the wheel.
Does it has to be gay centric?
Well, it has to be hope, ideally a prism through which we can judge how gay a movie is.
I want to say weird line delivery.
Like affected to line, like I think weird works.
Sure.
Weird line deliveries.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Because like all the adults have very interesting line deliveries.
And just so many jaded teens.
Yeah. All the teens are wants to be James Dean. all the adults are having their comedic moments.
The two leads are really good, and I believe that they're sisters. Like I believe mm-hmm. they sell it.
Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna say on line delivery, weird line delivery, I wanna say 75.
I'll give it more than that. I'll give it an 81.
81. Ooh. Yeah, it's weird you didn't create a category that this could score 100 in, but that's your choice.
That's who you are.
I'll give it a 70. All right, so we're in our final round of categories. This is bonus, the bonus round. So the movie will not be penalized for not having these, but
it's going well in these, but
will just be a bonus. So you're going to give it a score of 0 to 5% bonus, and then we'll take the average of all three of ours. So the first bonus category is makeover montage.
Okay, there was that montage early on, like when Brigitte was like crossing off the days for when Ginger would have her period next. And at the end of that was when Ginger first appeared with her gray hairs. So there's something sort of like a montage led to someone having a new hairstyle.
Also, there's the montage where they're making the Monkswood intercut with Ginger trapped in the bathroom, but not much of a makeover, really. I guess they made the shot, but that's about it.
Well, you see her slowly turning into a wolf. Like when you see her shaving her legs, and then there's all of a sudden there's like a thorn growing out of her foot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that was creepy.
And she has a tail that's getting longer and waggier. She's growing fur. She's growing nails, teeth. I'd say 65.
Well, 0 to 5%.
Oh, 0 to 5. Oh, that's right. Five.
Five.
I'm going to go 1.
I'll go 1 as well. I didn't think there was that much. Given an average of 2.33 and makeover montage. Okay, so the next category, angry phone hangups.
I didn't clock any phone hangups, but there was a lot of like slamming of doors and like turning on your heel and like stomping away that was like unto a phone hangup.
Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So like that energy, that feeling, that sort of like definitive punctuation,
a slamming of the door.
Yeah, like it's there in spirit.
The cold never bothered me anyway. Boom.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. Like, when Ginger leaves her sister, she goes, "If he rapes you, don't come crying to me."
That is a bad sister.
That is not a sister.
Yeah. And
especially in front of the guy, because then he's like, "Oh, well, that's one person she won't go crying to."
So what are you going to give this for angry phone hangups, Connie?
Mm-hmm. 75.
So zero to five.
God damn it. Sorry.
To the
I'm
end
sorry.
Of time, it's 0 to 5. You're okay.
Four.
That makes sense.
I'm going to go 1 just because it's more in spirit than in actuality.
I will also give it a 1. All right. Next bonus category, titular theme song. Is there a titular? There's nothing. Ginger snaps.
There's no like song, but there is like a theme on the soundtrack. I saw that.
Sure.
Mm hmm.
The music is very dated. It's all like Prodigy and
yes.
Like, if you ever played that
you
PlayStation
know you're in
game,
2000.
If you ever played the PlayStation game Wipeout, this is that. what would you give this for titular theme song, Connie?
Well, they don't have a song where you hear the word Ginger snaps like you would in a Bond movie. Mm-hmm. So I would give it a 2.
2.
I'll give it a 1 just because I know there's like a musical theme in it.
I'll also give it a 1. All right, next one. Fun fonts.
Okay, here's something I wrote in this category. There's 2 sections of opening credits to this movie, right?
Well, there's the very opening, which is the production companies, and then there's the cold open with the kid in the sandbox, cut to the scream, and then the proper credits.
I feel like I was like, wait, I definitely watched 2 opening credits for this movie. I remember thinking that.
Sure.
But the like, fonts
referring to the one where it's where the photography one? Okay.
Yeah, like once those hit, I was like, this movie's already started. Like, why are we watching this? I felt like I had already.
Do you have that problem in a James Bond movie where it says, you know, the MGM lion?
Remember,
he starts and then the title sequence.
I know that's different. It felt too long to get from one to the other, I guess.
You ever seen a James Bond movie? There's like a 7-minute action sequence.
Oh, right.
Connie, what are you going to give this for fun fonts?
I didn't really notice fonts. Everything seemed very Party of Five to me. I'll give it a 1.
Ouch. With I'll that crayon it... underneath it.
Mm-hmm. I'll give it 2, because also she didn't have to like fake her mom's handwriting at that one point.
Thank you. I'm also going to give it a 2, because they are very 2000s, but in a way at the time that does, it feels of a time. Mm-hmm. Which is fun. So next category, cheerworthy cameos. Well, you've already mentioned it. Sounds like right. Lucy Lawless.
Lucy Lawless is a voiceover.
Mm-hmm.
Is that? I think that's it.
Yeah. I think everyone else rises above cameo status.
Thank you. Congrats, cast of Ginger.
Well done. Socialism at work. Thank you, Canada.
Connie, so what are you going to give this for cheerworthy cameos?
I just found out about the Lucy Lawless one today, and it's wonderful. I have to rewatch it now to hear it. So I'm going to give it a 5.
5. Wow.
I'll give it a 2 for that.
2.
2?
Hey, that's my line. I'm going to give it a 3.
3?
Exactly. Now we've all said it.
This is post-Xena.
Yeah, pre-Battlestar Galactica.
But we don't like see her. Xena.
I guess it's hard to cheer. Yeah. All right, next one. Pool Trouble.
Well, this is Canada.
Yeah, sure. Why would they have a pool?
Exactly.
They're playing street hockey. That's all they're playing. Hockey, hockey, hockey. We're in Canada.
There is the one pool of blood that the
sure, that's
Bridget
true.
Drinks from. Which
oh,
is
right,
gross.
And then she spits it back up.
Ugh. It's so nasty. I always feel bad for those actors. Like, we're gonna pour this fake blood on the floor, and you have to eat it.
Yeah, but you have to like pretend you're like consumed by it and like eating it. It's not just passionate. Like you're eating it; you're just like hungering for it.
Nasty.
Mm-hmm.
But that was—I don't think that. What would you give this for Pool Trouble, Connie?
Well, Canada, so 1.
1.
I'll do 1 as well for Pool of Blood.
1. I will also do a 1. All right, next one. Sassy Best Friend.
I mean, they're suicidal. They each have suicidal best friends.
Ginger's really sassy. She's like, you know.
As she starts to werewolf, she definitely gets sassy.
She's sassy from the beginning. They're both so like, they are constantly sneering and rolling their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard because there's like 2 main characters.
Yeah.
And they're each other's best friends.
Mm-hmm.
So
a real Thelma and Louise.
Yeah. Like there's no Iago Jafar here.
No.
No. Definitely not.
Thank God.
So what would you give this for 0 to 5?
I guess 5.
5.
I'll go 4 because they're more suicidal than sassy.
Is there anything sassier than suicide?
Yes.
Well, they do mouth off to their mom. They tell her to, doesn't she tell her to have a, she's like, oh, have a fit. She tells her to have a fit.
So
I was
rude.
Just like, oh, Jesus.
The mouth on that child.
No.
Speaking of mouths, bold lip is the category. I think the boldest lip is that werewolf snarling.
Yeah,
that's a pretty bold. Werewolves have pretty bold lips, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they're wet all of a sudden either.
Well, maybe they drool. Dogs drool a lot,
but not
yeah,
from
maybe
their
they're
face.
Not good at swallowing.
Excuse me.
Maybe they're bad at swallowing.
I won't call them back then. But other than that, I don't know if they're how. It was all the makeup was all like the glamour makeup
yeah,
was all pretty muted.
Really crazy, yeah.
It's such like a sad world, like these like suburbs and like the orange light at night. It was just like there was a bleakness to everything. So what would you give this for 0 to 5?
I'd say, I guess, 1.
1.
Yeah, I'll do 1 for the werewolf.
I'm going to go 2 for the werewolf. That's a pretty bold lip.
Sure, sure.
All right, next category, witches.
I mean, they kind of try to do, like, find a potion, and there's a supernaturalness to all of this, so even though it's, like, werewolves, there's sort of, like, a witchiness about it.
Well, they literally make a potion, and the mom, at one point, is wearing a sweatshirt with a witch on it.
That's true.
I did notice
that. Oh, she's wearing jack-o'-lantern earrings.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's not a witch,
very
Connie.
Witchy. But it's
that's
witchy.
That's very witchy.
To that's wear
Halloween-y,
them as...
I would say.
Okay.
I just thought it was really hairs. Funny.
What it's a podcast. What else are we supposed to do?
Good point.
But I think like literally making a potion.
But they make it super 90s and that you have to shoot it up. I think that was so funny.
Yeah, right? Like Kurt Cobain.
Yeah. Like you have to wear, you have to use it while wearing your CK1.
Yeah. Your flannel
and your Tommy
shirt.
Jeans. Yeah.
And your boyfriend's flannel boxers.
Yeah, and blasting Alanis Morissette.
So what would you give this for witches?
Well, considering there aren't really any witches, I do like a good procedural. So I would say sure. two.
Two.
Yeah, I'm also going to give it a two.
Two. I'm also going to give it a two. Two's across the board.
Yeah.
All right, next category. Connie, on a scale of 0 to 5%, how Korean is Ginger Snaps?
Oh, didn't this movie premiere in South Korea?
Did
sure,
it?
Sure, I
don't know.
That's what about it says on the internet.
The janitor, was that? I was trying to Google that actor's name to find out if he was Korean. I couldn't tell.
Was he Korean? I thought he was Japanese.
His name is, I did Google, is this
Park
actor
Kong
Korean?
Ho. Yeah. Oh, I think he might be Korean.
Okay.
Is he?
Is there anything else about the movie that's Korean? You're Korean, Connie.
I am very Korean.
I've been saying that. Connie's very Korean.
So I will trust you. If you say this is Korean.
Her family's in Diamond Bar. No.
But yeah, it's weird. It says that it premiered in South Korea. Am I insane?
I'd trust you.
I think that's right.
Initial release, May 11, 2001, South Korea.
Were there any themes in it that resonated to you as a Korean American?
I guess, I mean, always feeling on the outside.
Okay, and otherness.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. And then, like, what's interesting with these girls is, like, when they get their period, they're not sure what's normal and what's not because they're also turning into werewolves.
So that feels Korean to you?
Well, it's just this sense of like you see what's happening to other people and you're not sure what's supposed to be happening to you.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So that I get. And lots of yelling. So if any of you have seen a Korean drama, we love to yell.
Well, I love this insight because normally we're just shooting in the dark.
Yeah.
So what would you give this for 0 to 5% for how Korean is it?
I would say 4.
Four.
You say 4, I'm going 4.
I'm going to say 4 too. All right, next category, felt. How much felt is in this movie?
I don't know about felt, but I do remember at one point Ginger wears a velvet skirt.
Sure.
I think there's some flannel. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sure that because it was all like practical effects, I'm sure some felt was used in some of the
those dead
stuff.
Dogs looked pretty felty a
yeah
lot
those
of
dead
times.
Dogs I'm sure
mm-hmm. I was so glad they did not look realistic.
No. Yeah, you just see the paw, you don't see the head or anything, right.
Which is like an exaggerated like skeleton mm-hmm. page.
But that was about it really. So what would you give this for felt?
Say like one.
I'm gonna go 3.
I'm going to split the difference, give it a 2. Mm-hmm. All right, next category, gay actors playing gay roles. Well,
there's no gay roles in this.
There's no gay roles.
So I guess we have to go 0.
0, Connie, how do you feel?
I think 0.
0, fair enough. Giving it a 0. All right, next category, themes of mothers.
Ooh.
So yeah, so like their relationship with their mother is a big thing. The that's whole like menstruation is part of it. And that's like motherhood.
Mm-hmm. You have a purpose now, girl.
Now suddenly. Good thing we didn't drown you at birth.
So it's pretty heavy in the motherhood, yeah. I think.
Yeah. Well, also the mother's like never not on their side.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you give this?
Like when she finds out that her daughters might be killing people, she's just like, we'll burn it. Let's go down. On the run.
She's like, we got this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would say
stage five.
Five? Yeah, I'll go five as well. Why not?
I'm going to go four because ultimately the movie isn't about motherhood. It's about sisters.
Okay.
Who wouldn't exist without mothers, but what are you going to do? All right, next category. A feels song. Is there a song in Ginger Snaps that puts you in your feels?
Yes.
There is?
What song?
What song?
Wait, when you say feels, what exactly does that mean?
You know, like Total
Eclipse
of the Heart.
It could be like emotional and sad, or it could be like get you excited and pumped up, but just like a song that you would like use to like get you to a place emotionally.
Oh, absolutely. the part where the song that's playing when she's getting her belly button pierced.
Sure.
Very like chamber, there might as well be monks chanting in the background music.
Like Enigma.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what would you give this?
I'd say 4.5.
4.5.
Mm-hmm. I didn't clock that song when I watched it, but I'll take your word for it. Give it a one for that.
I'll take your word for it and give you a quarter of that. I'm also going to give it a one. There wasn't much. All right. I guess I felt nostalgia at times because it sounded so dated and it reminded me of that time.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next one. Gossip. How gossipy is this movie?
It is pretty gossipy.
It's pretty gossipy. I mean, it's a high school movie.
Yeah, they start out with gossip.
Mm-hmm, with like, I overheard them just talking shit about you, about how you're going to die.
Yeah.
Gossip is like the currency of the world.
The missing child. And they're like, I think she's dead. And I heard this. There's a lot of gossip in this movie.
What's so funny is when that one girl goes missing and they announce it, this one guy in the school turns to another guy's like, you know, she's dead. Just like, the fuck are kids that mean?
Everyone's awful in this.
Yeah.
So what would you give this for gossip, Connie? 0 to 5?
5.
5.
I'm going to go 4.
4. I'm also going to go 4. All right.
Well,
now
how much more gossip do you need? News work?
I need
network?
Bye bye birdie. What's the story? Morning glory. What's the word? Hummingbird.
That's just a song.
That is gossip.
Just
put
a song.
How
just
dare you?
Bye bye birdie.
Bye bye Connie is more like it.
This episode is over.
All right. It's almost over. We're in the final show. So finally, this is an all or nothing category. You either get 0 or 15% bonus for positive portrayals of homosexuality.
Since we don't think really have any, I don't think we can do it.
And then finally, negative 50% if this is the movie Cruising.
This is not the movie Cruising, so it will not be docked 50% of its points.
All right, Connie. So out of a total possible 2,420.12 points, Ginger Snaps has scored 1,571.12, giving it a percentage of 64.92, making it the 11th gayest movie of all time. Not as gay as Meet Me in St. Louis, but gayer than 9 to 5.
Wow.
Really?
Wow.
Gayer
than 9 to 5. That
is pretty campy, that quippy. That's true. I think it's the surly girls is what, like.
Yeah, definitely.
Doing a lot of the heavy lifting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And sisterhood, you know.
The attitude.
The nihilism.
Exactly, especially
well,
the nihilism.
You didn't crack the top 10, Connie, but a good effort.
Made a great showing.
By an indie Canadian horror movie from the year 2000.
Aren't you glad you saw it?
I'm very glad I saw it.
I think it's really liked it. I think everyone should. It is a fun time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's free on Amazon right now.
It's free on numerous platforms.
It's even on Crackle, if you can believe
it. It's on Crackle. It's on Tubi. Check it out. Have a blast.
40 installments on Quibi.
Yeah.
So, Connie, as we wrap up, is there anything you would like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time?
Check out Cartoon Network. Hopefully, I don't know when this episode's coming out, but
in about a month.
Okay, so hopefully my episode of Thundercats Roar will be out by then.
What's the title of your episode?
damn it.
It's on IMDb.
We can look it up.
It'll be on IMDb. Well, there's two episodes.
Okay.
You'll see. All right.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for doing this, Connie. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, so much fun.
And thanks for having me.
We'll be right back. We're back. That was a lot of fun. That was very fun. We did that.
I thought you were going to talk, and then we both talked.
This is what happened.
John, you don't watch a lot of horror movies.
I don't seek them out, I guess, a lot, although I don't dislike them.
You don't watch a lot of horror movies.
So I guess what you're saying is correct. I do not watch a lot of horror movies, but I really did like this movie.
It's fun.
I don't think of myself as not watching horror movies. I guess I don't naturally, I'm not actually drawn to them, but every time I watch them, I think that was fun.
You got to watch Death Spa. Everyone out there, watch Death Spa. It's worth the $3 on Amazon Prime.
Okay. Could you give us like a quick little...
It's a horror movie in a late 1987 Hollywood at the hottest fitness club in LA.
Oh, perfect.
It's amazing.
It sounds like a lot of great celebrity cameos in that one.
Not a one.
Perfect.
Speaking of perfect,
we got some reviews. Thank you. Good segue. Mm-hmm. We got an iTunes review from Andrew Rubin, 1995. He gives us 5 stars and says, "Hello, huge fan of the show. I listen every week. My coworkers were skeptical at first." And then he says, "I work construction, so I work with a lot of macho bro type guys, but soon they were laughing along with me. Love the new scoring system. Always leaves me wanting more. Thank you." Well, thank you, Andrew. Isn't that nice? Don't you love the idea of a bunch of construction workers, bro-y construction workers laughing at us? Along with us.
With us.
Always, we have agency.
I know how to use a hammer too, you know, I don't make a big deal out of it.
You don't get paid for it.
No, I could. How hard is it? What's the learning curve on a hammer? 5 minutes?
This goes in one direction, really.
Yeah, I think I got it. Mm-hmm. Thank you for writing in.
We appreciate that. I'm going to think about you guys when we record our next episode. All right. Now we have an email from Eric. He says, "Okay, I've been giving this a lot of thought. I think Grease 2 deserves a high score in vibrato, but I also think it has to get docked 10% of that score based solely on Maureen Teefee's unabashed straight tone delivery of 'You'll be a mighty soldier,' her solo line in 'Let's Do It for Our Country.' You'll be a mighty soldier." Staying silent on this topic was starting to make me feel like I'm quote unquote part of the problem.
Wow.
Well, thank you, Eric, for letting us know and unburdening yourself. I don't think you're part of the problem.
No, I think I'm just recognizing that at all is part of the solution.
Yeah, exactly. Calling attention to it. Maybe I'll slip in a little sound cue right now so people will know exactly what you're talking about. You'll be a mighty soldier. But it's now on the record, Eric, so thank you for letting us know.
And it did score number one, so it's doing fine.
Yeah, it's doing fine. It's okay, yeah. That's it. You guys, if you have anything else you want to get off your chest, unburden yourself of, any other opinions, things you want to let us know, you can email us at twooldqueens, that's twooldqueens@gmail.com.
Or you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at twooldqueens, twooldqueens. Follow me on Letterboxd because I maintain the current standings list on there. It's a fun little app.
Get into it.
We don't know what we're doing next week yet. Come on, guys. We're in quarantine. Okay, we're doing the best we can.
But follow us on these social apps and you will know.
You will know the Saturday, the weekend before. Sometimes I'm a day late because I forget.
It's all right. It's hard to know what days are these days.
What is time?
It's
a great David Bowie song. I think that's enough.
I think that's enough. All right. Okay. Thank you very much.
Goodbye.
Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen,
artwork by Connie Shin,
and special thanks to Alex Arche and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
Goodbye. We didn't get that right.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.